Welcome, everybody. We are back here on the Spocast. I'm Johnny Cashmere. In a little bit of dark days lately, fell on some black days with all that's going on, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. I think it's important we get some peeps in here. Let's go in a different order. Let's see who. Phil Stamper. What's up, brother?
Hey, brother. How are you?
Good, man. Love your background.
Thank you, sir.
Hell yeah. Tommy Grayson. What's up, brother?
What up? What up? Tommy Grayson in the house. How you doing, Johnny?
We're doing good. JP, nice background too.
Hey, you already know. What's up?
That's right. And last but not least, there he is, brother.
What's up, my brothers?
The POD to the GOD. It is Donnie B, brother.
Yes.
The pod god himself.
Yes, I'll take that.
And Joel Maximo is calling me, and it's coming through on my computer. Sorry.
Hey, brother. What's up, baby? How you doing,
baby? I can't get in the chat, brother.
Brother, I can't get into a working car. I can't come to the show Sunday. Nobody I know
well,
has
we decided
a car that runs.
The Feral Face is the only man in New Jersey with a car that runs, right?
Everybody loves Feral Face because he has a car that works and has four tires with air in it.
Danger Ginger in the house. What's up, brother? Wrestling Call is in the house. Rat Boy is in the house, Donnie B. And Danger Ginger says, can't wait for the show on Sunday. Thank you. What's up, Tara? How's it going, girl? We got a lot of peeps in the house. We got a lot of stuff to do. This is our This is taking it home, guys. We're taking it home again. We haven't done one of them in a while, it feels like. Yeah, brother. The big taking it home.
Coming up,
not since before, right before Mania,
right?
Yeah,
before Mania, exactly. So we got a lot going on right now, guys. Let's start off with a video. Let's get right into the action, if you will. Let's see the back seats in the cage. This is from Greektown this past Friday. Check this out.
Again, broken up. JP breaks it up. And what do the crazies have in store?
He kicked out.
Unbelievable. It's really turned the Greektown fans around, and now they are fully supporting.
Look at this again. A powerbomb neck.
Oh, my God. Tag team synchronicity. And what do the back
Key gimmicks coming, I can tell.
Good, that's for sure. Oh, my God.
Can celebrate the hard-fought win against
the champion. Hot man.
Yo, I never seen Chael that hot.
Seriously. I mean, he came in with, like, you know, bloody face, you know, bloody lip and everything. I mean, it was insane.
Yeah. We left our mark, you know, surely by yours truly. You know, we had to pick up the W. At all costs.
Finally, our first cage. Finally, our first cage match victory, and you know, I would say we're just about settled the score in our rivalry with CXR. And just a little bit of a backseat trivia: the first move that you saw, the powerbomb neckbreaker, is officially dubbed the Backseat Rapture. That is a tribute to the Backseat Boys and the Hardys, and the Avalanche T gimmick, which is self-explanatory. So there you go.
Good deal. Awesome stuff. So Donnie B, I got a surprise for you. I know you're going away, brother. Right?
Yes.
You got a big road trip coming up?
Well, not road. I fly. I have money. I fly.
Oh, you're kidding.
You think I'm driving to fucking Nashville, Tennessee?
Yeah. I even made this for you.
6 hours. No, that's...
I had you working... You got young boys to pay your trans in this AI.
Yeah, where's rendering? Charlie Tiger? Charlie Tiger, how do I invite people in my... Can I charge my kids to be in the car?
Look how AI misspelled Nashville.
I love that. Oh, that's great, bro.
That's you from
Nashville going to be kicking. Yeah. No, we do the drives, but like if it's more than... Bro, with two kids and a wife and, you know, God, I love them. But, you know, more than 6 or 8 hours in the car, I just can't do it. Boston's about as far as I'll drive, and maybe the Outer Banks, but we split that trip up. We stay overnight somewhere and do it, finish it the next day, but I'm not driving. I'm not getting in the van with Ron Starr and Johnny Cashmere and driving 22 fucking hours to Cornelia, Georgia, doing a show for Barron's, and then getting back in the same van and driving home.
That's right.
We did that.
We did it. And Donnie, I have another surprise. Before we get too deep, I have another surprise for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's bring him in here right now. Chris Dark King Sierra.
Oh. Whoa,
what an entrance.
Whoa, brother did an entrance. Yeah. He's Fingoolied us. So he like turned we around in the gimmick chair.
That was coordinated.
Yep. Wow. Oh, well,
what's up, brother? How you doing?
Don't blame me, but that was just straight out of a GameCube video game I remember hearing on the intro.
Nice. Oh, all right. So tonight, as on all of our Taking It Home episodes, Chris Dark King Sierra will be live sketching. Who are you going to live sketch tonight, Chris?
All right. Just like you wanted, Cashmere and Beholder.
Is that Phil Stamper?
That is Molino and Christina. Sorry, Marie, Courageous Christina, our champion.
Wow.
And they will be on here all later on.
All right. Ignore the burger that's right next to it. I will try not to get greasy.
Oh, wow. Pikachu!
Interesting choice of bun.
Yes, that's a perfect vantage point. Leave that. That is perfect. All right. We'll check back in with you.
This is sourdough.
Rye.
Oh, that's going to explode.
This rye in a yogurt parfait.
Wait, is that burger? Wait, that burger's on rye bread?
Yes.
This is sourdough, dude.
Way to keep up.
I believe it's called a sourdough sandwich.
Open the soda. I want to see it explode on the rendering. Open it.
Oh.
Here we go. Right over the sketch. You have courage, man.
Jesus.
Wow. Bang.
Unbelievable. All right. Good job, guy. All right.
I love the likeness in Christina Marie. That's awesome.
All right, we'll check back in.
It's not a burger, it's a patty melt.
We get to watch a meat culture too. So.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's funny. All right, guys. So we got some other things going on here too,
by the way. Like eating a burger.
I want to point out Phil Stamper sunglasses before we get started.
Yep. These are not sunglasses. I can see.
Oh, they're very Brad Pittish from like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That's
oh yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Good call, Donnie. I got another one, Donnie.
How about Gorilla Monsoon?
Somebody did give me Arn Anderson, and I was like, you know what? I'll take that. I'll rock.
Yeah.
I'll go 3 for 3. They sort of look like the cover of They Live.
Oh, the gimmick glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right.
They match the SPO logo for his background.
Yeah, the red lens. I'm a big fan for that, actually.
Yeah, it's a new look.
Yeah,
it matches the color coordinated.
Yes,
it does match. That's true. Yeah. So this Sunday we got the big event, guys. But we got a lot going on. Before that, we had a big weekend in Greektown up in Toronto. I mean, Channing. You know, I got to talk for a minute about Channing Decker. The new Greektown champion. He beat Mike Santana in a cage. He rode the Zamboni to the ring. I mean, he knows how to put on a show. He knows how to make himself the star. And he does it very well. And I've always been diametrically opposed to that. I've always been the guy that tries to make everyone else the star. And, you know, think about his show on Friday. He was in a steel cage in the main event for a title, bleeding, on a Zamboni. 5 things he gave himself.
And your sunglasses.
And my sunglasses he took out of my bag and I never got back. He called his ear
blockers. What a heel.
But think about it. Like, if I were Channing Decker and I ran off company, I would have said, okay, the cage match goes to the backseat boys. The Zamboni goes to Lucky. This goes to that. You know what? And it probably wouldn't have been as good of a show. So I'm starting to learn from Decker. As much as I despise his work ethic sometimes and the way he goes about his flagrants, he's like Ralph Cifaretto from The Sopranos. You know, he's so flagrant, sitting with his feet up in the locker room and stuff. Wow. As much as I can't stand him, I'm learning from him. And it's unlocking a side of me I haven't had access to in a long time. And I'm going to tell you right now, when I say Mr. Unbreakable is coming back Sunday, it's not just a gimmick to get people to buy tickets. It's because it's the truth. I've never claimed Mr. Unbreakable's coming back yet since I've returned to wrestling. This is the first time I'm making that claim. You definitely want to be there because the season of death has started. And to be honest with you, I'm already shrouded. You're going to see me like this for the next month. because I'm not trying to be Mr. Happy. It's just like Mike Tyson. He quit smoking weed because he wants to be an irritable bastard going into his fight. Well, I'm going to live the next month in a season of death. And I welcome you guys to do the same.
Mm. Well, bravo.
Damn right.
I feel dirty after that. Like, I feel unhinged.
Wow. Yeah, well.
Well, you mentioned Ralph Sifferetto. I just broke it down for you.
Or maybe I unbroke it down for you, but yeah. Whatever. What'd you say, Tommy?
I was going to say you mentioned Ralph Sifferetto. And, you know, if there's one thing that Ralph did have, it's a reign of terror. And his reign of terror, much like all other kings who rule the land, will come to an end. So I know that Mr. Unbreakable will do his damnedest to make sure that Decker's hardcore reign comes to an end.
No, Burlington doesn't know what they're in for this weekend. That's all I'm going to say. But there's a lot going on. We had a lot of announcements. If you guys have been checking us out on our social media, you know what I'm talking about already. Let's start just showing some of this stuff. So, you know, everyone knows that Malcolm Calloway is our interim commissioner right now, our interim general manager. We don't have one. We're going to have Jim Molyneux on here later, who used to be our commissioner. And to be honest with you, I kind of wish we had Molyneux because things are getting weird. Why would we all know Malcolm? Right? Pretty much like a big kid, right? A local superhero. Volunteers his time. He's wholesome. He's naive, right? Is this the kind of match? An OnlyFans death match. Loser must start an OnlyFans. He sent me this. Something's wrong, guys.
Is Phil in that match?
We don't know who's in the match yet.
Phil versus Dewey.
What a stipulation.
Loser must start on OnlyFans.
I mean, Dewey would be dead, so you wouldn't want a corpse to start an OnlyFans. But
I hope there's good-looking people in it. But let me just say something. Let me make the point I'm trying to make is this: we asked Malcolm to be our commissioner up until this Sunday. Why is he making matches for June? It sounds like something. You know what?
Yeah, maybe Dewey wants an OnlyFans page.
Oh, it doesn't seem like Malcolm, and I haven't heard from him. He hasn't returned my calls. I haven't heard from Matt Walsh either, by the way, guys, since that day. But here's the other match that Malcolm made: Three Stages of Death. So we already have two steps.
Is this like a video game or something like that? Like what?
Who made Malcolm this? Malcolm is on like two polar opposite ends of the deathmatch spectrum. You know, on one hand, you got OnlyFans death match, loser must start an OnlyFans, and then you got Three Stages of Death. Like, what is Three Stages of Death? What does that even mean?
Point of parliamentary: are those stages left to right or right to left?
Right.
Because I go to the fire first, I don't think I'm making it to the next two stages. I think my chances are better if I start in the cage and then barbed wire and then burn to death.
Right? I don't think. So, He told me just choose three crazy things. He didn't even tell me what three things. I just picked those three.
Through the fire and flames.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know. It's just something ain't right. I'm just telling you, something ain't right. It's weird. It's really weird.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
I think Gloucester is going to burn to a ground after this, between the OnlyFans and the Three Stages of Death. I mean, and which is going to come first, the chicken or the egg in this equation? So I truly don't even know.
The show's at a fire hall, right? You guys do it at the fire department. So if it burns down, at least they can put it out.
Yeah. Everyone will be happy to hear that.
Phil, how you guys doing on that deal where you were looking for talent for those promo wars? Is that still going?
Going well. They've announced the first entrant from that's been selected, the victorious BRG. So BRG will be on the event. They haven't announced number two has not been selected yet. But the match has been announced, and so they'll be going into a six-person scramble on this Friday.
Very cool.
Wow.
I've been following that religiously, yeah.
And Phil, I hear you have a 50 Shades of Wrestling.
Oh,
and you might want to be sharing. Give me a minute to get the logo up. We're gonna get this good. This one's gonna be a good one. All right.
I don't even know what it is. I wanted to hear it live.
Now I have a picture to put up that goes with it, and I will give you the floor is yours, Senator.
So was at an event on Saturday. Need to give some context. You see that picture there? There were about 160 people there. Small town, central Pennsylvania. They run every 3 to 4 months. Mix of talent level, if you know what I'm meaning. Mm-hmm. All across the board. And there's this one wrestler who about a year and a half ago was his first match. Hated everything, you know. I should be wrestling better people. I'm better than this place. Didn't like the guy he wrestled the guy he was wrestling was in his second match ever. And something happened where like he didn't know how to or couldn't do an arm drag, got all upset, all worked up, did the match. And somewhere in the match, somebody in the crowd had used the N-word at him. That person gets kicked out of the building. So this is a year and a half ago. And this guy, and understandably, like, you know, being called that inappropriate, you know, however you're acting, unless you're, I mean, there's no reason. And so a month and a half goes by, I see this guy again, and he still is upset about the event and what happened. Not so much that he was called anything, but that the talent is so bad, that promotion is so bad, that. And I was at his trainer's school teaching chain wrestling. And he jumped in the ring. By the way, he was 2.5 hours late to training. Yes. Jumps in the ring. And I'm watching him, and he's still complaining as he's doing stuff. I'm like, man, you need to stop. And I don't know what your problem is. I get that you're upset that that guy was not good. But, man, you can't even do a headlock. So why are you complaining? Got all upset. Then tried to get me to call him the N-word. And then started to say things like, hey, Phil, what do you call? And he would give a scenario. And like, what do you call a person who ... And I'm like, to this day, I don't even know what the words were he was trying to get me to say. And I was like, I get you wanting me to say something inappropriate, but I have no idea even what the word is. And then he leaves, and I'm looking at his promoter or his trainer who's there. And I'm like, what the hell just happened? He's like, yeah, he does that. That's not appropriate. So now fast forward. So it's now it's Saturday. And it's like this, and a lot of the same story. Don't like the guy I wrestle. Oh, I don't want to be in this match. Oh, I should be wrestling better people. This promoter doesn't know how to book a show. Nonstop, nonstop, nonstop. In the main event for the title, they're going to do some kind of, and I don't even know how they were going to do this, but somehow they were going to turn him face, because apparently he keeps having issues with crowd members saying and doing things to him, because he doesn't just attract heat. He draws out nuclear heat from people and feels like he knows who's going to do it and drags it out of them. Wow. So it's a no disqualification match, because they're going to have a fight. So they go outside of the ring at one point, and they start fighting. If if Donnie's the center square, you know, where the ring is, let's say, they start fighting to where Johnny is, like far left back of the building. And I see a chair at one point go up in the air. I can't really see much from where I'm at. And when I say chair, I don't mean like a steel folding chair. I mean like those like conference center metal chairs with like the cushiony.
Chair, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that fly. I don't see where it goes. I just see it fly. I'm like, okay, they're brawn. They move now to where Sierra is, and they go outside of the building. There's double doors. They go outside. They fight for like 40 seconds and they come back inside, and there's fans around the doorway. I see them get kind of like pushed and shoved a little by themselves. And then the wrestlers fight their way back into the ring. They start going towards the end of the match. And I see the same wrestler. I think he's just taunting the crowd. I thought he was about to climb the turnbuckle. He's grabbing the ropes, and then he stops, starts taking off his wrist tape. And he's like, if this is how it's going to be, let me tell you how it's going to be. I was like, oh, he's just trash talking. He jumps out of the ring and then starts making a lap around the ring, like a slow lap. I'm like, what's going on? Why did all the momentum has just stopped? Plus, there's supposed to be a face turn by this guy at the end somehow. And I'm like, I don't understand what's happening. So just before this happens, I see a guy almost directly across from me in the crowd go over to where the double doors are and point to that wrestler and go, he is trash. He is trash. Get him out of here. I'm like, what's going on? But then I got back to the match, so I didn't really see anything else that had happened. So this guy's walking around. Well, now that fan has gone back to his seat. And I see him stop. And I hear, ooh. But I don't see anything except him just standing there. And I can hear talking. It's very loud in this little building. Comes all the way back around to my side of the ring. Gets up on the side of the ring. And looks at this guy and goes, well, if that's the way you want it, you're nothing but a pussy. And this guy charges through three rows of the crowd to try to come at this wrestler. So I have the mic and I'm like, hey, locker room, get out here.
What?
To which then nobody moves.
Wait, stop.
Yeah.
You said the exact words, hey, locker room, get out here.
I think I literally said locker room, get
where
out
where art
here.
Thou?
Like Avengers, yeah. Avengers unite.
Right.
Yeah.
So in other words,
cap on your left.
In other words, you incited this war.
Hold on, I need to hear the finish of this.
Well, yeah,
By the time of this, again, this guy's already heated. I didn't know this, but apparently when that chair got thrown, a little girl got hit. The wrestler is now going out, and allegedly when people were coming back in the building, somebody else might have also gotten hit. I don't know if that was true or not, but I heard that in the stuff aftermath. As this guy goes around the ring to jaw jack, he calls the same little girl who got hit a slut.
Oh.
And then he says something to the dad, and the dad used the N-word. So when this wrestler works all the way back around, and again, I don't know any of this at this point. I see the wrestler get up there and just yell at this guy. I'm like, I know you're trying to get something out of him. I don't know what's happened. And hear him say, if you want, you know, come at me, you pussy. Yeah. And I see him just charge through three rows of crowd. And I see the 65 and 70-year-old security guards try to stop this like 35, 40-year-old guy. And there's three of them. And I'm like, well, they're not going to stop him. I need help. And literally the locker room is like right behind me. So I then open up the door of the locker room. I was like, you all need to get out here. And they're all looking at me like, what? So there's a fight out here. Who's fighting? A fan is going after this wrestler. Oh. And I think I said something like, and I didn't realize I still had the mic on me. So this, some of it might've been picked up by the crowd. And at one point I said, there's a fucking fight.
Oh,
and the promoters, at that point, the promoters like, that's when I knew something was going wrong. Typically I keep it a little bit more together.
The president doesn't usually curse, I don't think.
Right.
This sounds absolutely dreadful. So what was the end of all this? Whoever this guy was get thrown out?
So when I come back, so I was just in the locker room. Somebody asked me what happened after everybody else is running out. I tell them, to which two people then go, oh, that guy? Oh, yeah, he deserves it. And just sat back down in their chairs. So I turned back around. And by this time, the wrestler's back in the ring. The promoter is, I should say the owner. This is gonna be important later. The owner is standing next to him on the outside of the ring and going, you know what you did. You know what you did. Stop it. The owner then walks back to the locker room and the wrestler just takes a minute, looks at his opponent, looks back at the locker room door and goes, no, we're going to talk about this, and leaves the ring.
Oh.
Now, the ref is like an 18, 19-year-old kid with not much experience. The owner's gone that way. The promoter I later found was in another room, and I'm their authority figure. The bell rings. I don't know who called for a bell, but it was probably a good decision. So I'm like, all right, match is in no contest. Oh, because I was filling in for ring announcing unexpectedly because the ring announcer's brother had gone to jail and the ring announcer had to bail out his brother out of jail. That's a whole other
thing. Let's check in with Dark King real quick here. See how he's doing. How you doing, Dark King?
Pretty.
Look at that.
Hey.
Got some skin tone, some lipstick. Nice.
Very cool. Yep. I got to say,
this was Sprite.
Sprite.
What? Yeah, we.
Maybe no, this is an Inca.
Good job. Keep it up,
that
man.
Sounds like that entire organization, everybody involved with it, should just be wiped from the map. They should have no involvement in the wrestling business. From the whatever happens under the wall, like if something happens this Sunday at the show, it's on Johnny. Anything that happens in the confines of the building ultimately lands at the feet of the promoter. It's true. It's the God's honest truth. You're the promoter.
Chris.
The owner and this and that, whatever. It's the promoter who's responsible for everything. When we did the show in Lacey, we had 900 people. When we did Contest of Champions, we had 1,800 people. My first move of both of those events was to hire Rocco Dorsey, former worker, to head up the security force for each of those events. We had ex-wrestlers and off-duty cops and young boys from wrestling school in attendance, in full outfits, that's a security, back and forth from the ring, guardrails, everything was completely set up. We didn't have a single incident like that on either of those events.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science, but that just sounds awful, dude. I'm sorry you had to sit through that. That's the kind of shit that'll destroy the town. Everybody involved with it should just be ashamed of themselves. There's no excuse. Listen, Big 80s had heat in the 90s and early 2000s. I never went into the crowd and fought anybody. I jaw jacked from like the first or second row. Johnny will tell you. Right. I mean, we stood in the ring in Trinidad and Tobago and got hit with pieces of chicken and clumps of grass. Remember, Johnny?
Yeah.
But we didn't go into the crowd and fight people.
No.
We just dusted it off and
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, man. That's what I mean. It's and there's some of those little towns in central PA have a feel of the South.
And you gotta know that. You gotta know that. Yeah. You gotta know your audience. You gotta know how to evolve during the course of a match. If the water starts to boil, you gotta take it off the stove. You gotta move to the left or right. You gotta reanalyze and constantly go over what you're doing at ringside if you're a talent. It's just not goddamn rocket science, dude.
And the thing is, like, it is that kind of town, but that means you give them this much energy, you give them this much of a story, and they bite it and they love it.
Right.
And they'll come back.
They'll come back. They'll work with you. But if you just throw, like, oh, you hate me, you hate me, you hate me, you throw it, and you never relent. It's not a wave. It's not a ride anymore. You're just pouring gasoline.
Yep. That's what kills towns.
And it's like, I know there was more to that exchange between that guy and the wrestler. I couldn't hear a word he said. So I know that there was more that amped him up. I don't think it's appropriate that the fan then used the N-word at the wrestler. Like, that's completely inappropriate. Of course not.
But who cares? If the wrestler was worked up and he was aggravated, fuck him. Who cares? You're the professional. You're the professional wrestler. You had the advantage in the fact that you don't know if that fan in the crowd is mentally ill or what his deal is, but you're supposed to be the professional wrestler, like a policeman or a fireman or whatever. Okay, you go on calls, just somebody starts cursing at your jaw jacket. It doesn't mean you go into the crowd and fight them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what being a professional wrestler is, dude. Tonight, if CM Punk or Drew McIntyre starts getting made fun of, is he going to fight the fan in the third row who comes towards him? No.
That has killed me. Handle it. Why am I seeing more wrestlers today, especially like independent events, who like, I am the bad guy, I am the heel, and they get offended when, like, legitimately shoot offended when they get booed?
Heat is life. Heat is life. I've been saying that for years. I said it before Bischoff did, but heat is life, bro. We love heat. Motherfuckers are afraid to have heat. That's what it is. Nobody wants to be hated. Nobody wants to be a heel.
Right. No, you know who's good with that? Messiah is good with that. He taught me when I was younger. He said, Johnny, everyone does not have to like me. And I was like, that's a weird. I had never thought of that. I was like, really? And he's like, trust me, it works. And he was right.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah, without a doubt. But yeah, Danger Ginger said that's an insane story from both sides, it seems. Yeah. Absolutely. Harold Pollock, about 12 years ago, a wrestler playing a Russian gimmick took my dad's mini U.S. flag and my dad snapped. My dad was in his mid-60s and it took 6 or 7 wrestlers to hold my dad back. That actually sounds like a lot of ladies in their 60s and 70s in the crowd, especially back in the Memphis days.
Stunt grannies. We've run into them, dude. Well, no wrestler should ever grab us. I mean, if you put the sign and you work it out beforehand, I'm going to rip his sign up, whatever. But you shouldn't be taking shit from a fan like that. That's just dumb.
No. And Donnie, do you want to segue right into your – you have a little segment planned today. If you want to segue right into that, I'm more than happy to.
And that picture you just showed from the show, that picture you just had up there before this one, the mini ring and all the people – this is going to go into that too. Take a look at that picture. What's one thing that sticks out to you right there? Phil will know.
No apron on the ring.
No apron on the ring, but yet 2/3 of the fucking ring are surrounded by pretty big people
with
cameras or whatever the fuck they're doing.
Wow.
So half the goddamn crowd who's sitting there can't even see what's going on.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
The guy in the orange shirt, I think, I don't know if it's a guy or girl, all the way to the far right.
Right.
I think it's a girl. And then
the
kid next to him on the right. Like, what the fuck are they doing? This is the middle of the match. And these guys are just standing there. That's in the thirds.
Now, where that kid is on the far right, there was a little bit of a crowd, but right behind the woman is the entryway to get to the
That's
ring.
Fine, so but even that, dude, no one on earth should be that close to the ring at all, ever. That's for the talent. If I look at this, I'm saying to myself, the first thing that jumps out at me, who are those three people standing outside the ring? That's what sticks out to me when I see that. That's just nuts, dude. They make a thing called, I'm not a cameraman, but I'm pretty sure they have fucking lenses that can zoom in.
Yeah. Well, Steve Jordan got it when you asked. He said, why are so many people near the ring? Good call, Steve. Good job.
But that's now here's the other picture. Okay. Somebody sent this to me the other day, yesterday, whatever it was, I forget what day it was, and apparently this was from a show over the weekend, and it brings to mind, this is my 15 minute here, this is one of my pet peeves, it always was in the business, when people use shit rings that look like dog shit, they're not clean, the canvases aren't clean, and in this picture, for those of you who can't see it, it's a steel cage from a steel cage match this past weekend that's being held together by a goddamn toe strap. There's a fucking orange toe strap that's holding the cage together. Now, normally, I would say maybe there was an accident or there was an emergency and they had to do that. But I spoke to an individual who was at that event. They said, no, that's just the way they put the cage up. And I said, you got to be shitting me. They said, no, they were improperly prepared to set that cage up. And that's what they did. That was the solution that they came up with. They advertised the cage match and they went with that. A goddamn steel cage that was held together with a toe strap. And it's just one of those things, man. You see that? Like Spo Wrestling, dude. One of the things I was so impressed when I came to that show was the entranceway, the setup. You know, I don't care how big or small of an operation you have. You got to think big. You got to look big. Mm-hmm. They were so professional with their sound system, the videoing, the cage, the ring, guardrails, security staff, the entranceway lighting, all that shit, dude. And just to see that, man, was just such an abomination. A goddamn steel cage held together by a fucking orange toe strap. It just bugged me when I saw that. I just shook
Sierra with a thumbs down. Dude.
Look at that, Phil.
And there's no guardrails either. So
no guardrails. It doesn't look like many fans, but the ones that were there, imagine that side of the ring falls off and Julian's them like a bunch of French fries, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
Baby Phil goes to an event. I don't know if you, Johnny, did you ever work PWF in the day with Steve Carino's promotion in Pennsylvania?
I was heavyweight champion, brother.
You were? Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. We were there.
So they had rented a ring from somewhere else, not their own ring, got it from somebody else. And, you know, there was this signal really early, like something might be up with this cage. And I don't remember who was in this. I feel like it was an 8-man cage match or something. And the first time anybody ran the ropes inside the cage, you see zip ties that were holding this ring together fly everywhere. And all of us just charged the ring to hold up the cage panels. And all I can remember is standing in that corner, and here's Chris Hamrick and Steve Carino just bleeding on top of me because I'm trying to hold this cage up. So there's been some interesting rings out there. I feel like at least they tried to keep it together.
Just terrible, dude. If you're going to advertise a cage match or any kind of match with stipulations, at least do a dry rehearsal or dry run to make sure that it can be put up quickly, efficiently, and safely. And yeah, not look like dog shit. If you're sitting in the crowd and you see that, you're going, this is a fucking joke, man.
Yeah.
It's just, and like I said, I when I ran a show once, first match in, the intermission, half before the show started, we set the ring up a couple hours before, they're running the ropes, and boom, that one of the rings on the top of the ring post broke. I had to call a welder on the spot to come weld it on there. Yeah. But
that's like, crazy.
That's why you set shit up in advance and you run it and make sure everything checks, dude.
Yeah.
But
if
it was an emergency like that, I could say, okay, they're whatever their apparatus is that holds the cage pieces together broke. This is what they came up with. But no, that was from the start. And that was from somebody who was at the show. That wasn't me being an asshole or just picking on somebody. So fuck you if that's what you think.
But I thought.
Who was that promoter in New Jersey? He was agoraphobic, like he didn't leave his house.
That would be Carmine Sabia.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I was wondering if I was blended names.
Yeah.
And
I know what you're gonna say.
They bought a ring sight unseen. They put the ring together. Didn't have any come along or cross cable. And a match was working out before the event. And bust a weld on the bottom of the ring. Yeah. They delayed doors an hour. This is how long ago it was. Crowbar and Chris Candido go to Home Depot. That's a headline in itself. And they get chains and rope and whatever they could to tie this ring together. And I feel like the canvas for the padding for the ring, they borrowed the wrestling mat from the high school that we were in.
Probably.
Because there was no padding that came with this ring. And so they get to that same match on the card, like third or fourth match in, they run the ropes, the opposite weld breaks. So the next match becomes a false count anywhere, and at intermission, they take an hour-long intermission to go back to the store to get more ropes and chains to tie everything back together to finish off the show.
Oh my god.
The back half of the show. By this point, might have been some substances in the locker room. And there's this stable of people coming out, and baby Phil, who's just setting up the show, is sitting in the back of the crowd. And I look over at the entryway, and the entire pipe and drape is falling over. So I run over. I'm gonna save the day, baby Phil. And I'm standing on the bleacher, and I grab the pipe and drape to hold it in place. Well, little did I know, below me, somebody was also trying to pull it by the curtain. They pull me down because I'm standing on the curtain, and I land on top of the Iron Sheik.
Oh, my
the
God.
The Iron Sheik. Incredible.
The Iron Sheik. I was like, I'm going to die. I will not make it out of New Jersey. This was this? Tom something high school?
It wasn't Tom.
Tom Driver.
No.
Was it Tom Driver?
I only read.
Is there any other Tom?
Well, Chris Candido was there.
Yeah. Right. So it's been.
Totowa? Might have been Totowa.
I mean, we're also talking like 22 years ago now.
When Carmine would run a show here and there, he didn't want to leave his house. He's shoot agoraphobic. Pretty nice guy, actually, and I never had an issue with him. But he would book people, and we'd have to transport them back and forth and kind of run the show. I think Chino Martinez did. I think he ran the locker room for him. I forget who else. I just remember I had one show. I had Gangrel on, and then Carmine used Gangrel the next day. So I brought Dave up to the show and then was responsible for getting him back and forth to the airport and shit. But that's my Carmine story. But
well, Rat Boy said the ring broke right before the Sandman and Jake Roberts match at PW. So that was my show. So I just want to say the ring shouldn't have broke. It should have just been blown up before that match happened.
I think I need to see that.
You do need to see it. It was excellent.
What did the Sheiky baby say when you fell on him?
Nothing. I got so blown under the bridge. I was like, oh, this. How did I live through this? So we all go out after the event, and I sort of say what happens again. Man, Iron Sheik was living his best life. I mean, even at this point, this is early mid-2000s. He is old at that point. There are we're in some college town, and girls are pulling off their shirts to have him sign their breasts.
Wow.
And I'm like, this is the Iron Sheik. How is this happening? And they're like, all they know is that he's been on television. That's all they care about.
Oof.
So I have a signed photo somewhere that she Phil. Gave me. It's him and Phil. Steve Austin.
Phil!
Yes, I'm good.
You're my handler. You don't take over the whole show.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
You don't even need me here tonight. Jim Molyneux has been waiting in our green room for like 10 minutes, and he's got a F. Phil Stamper shirt on. Mm-hmm. Oh, hold on.
What
Let
I
me
do?
Get him in here.
Yeah.
There he is.
He got.
How you doing, guy?
He's saying lies about me already.
Did we have the black jelly beans in the green room like you requested?
No jelly beans. No jelly.
Only black.
You have to read that contract better. There's so many things that you tripped up on that I just threw it out and I need to rewrite it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we know you're real big on contracts. Our general manager, after two shows, just throws his hand up and says, I give up. And now he's a manager. Just like that, Jim. I appreciate that, Molly. Good looking.
Exactly, because, you know, I got tired of fighting the establishment. You know, I've been doing this for 35 years. Now it's time to stop being the pawn on the chessboard, and now it's time to be the person moving the pieces on the chessboard.
You know, I said something similar earlier. I think that's what it is, brother. You know, I don't necessarily agree with your tactics because, you know, we have a 19-year-old interim general manager who's making OnlyFans matches for events that are a month and a half away that we didn't even. So like that's everything's all screwed up. It's my fault.
Yeah, that's your fault because of choosing who you chose for an interim manager. Well, choose somebody who has some experience. You tried that before.
Right.
And, you know, I got tired of banging my head against the brick wall of management.
Mm-hmm. So well, I got to say, you definitely picked a good moment in the cage when everyone's guard was down and you're now with Christina. And I got to tell you, Jim, Christina's probably the best women's wrestler I've seen in my career up close and personal and been as close to as I am. Like, to know her and how she ticks and how good she is, like, I just see this, like, it's like an engine inside of her that just burns hot all the time.
No disrespect to anyone else on the panel, but I think she's the best wrestler at SPO Wrestling.
Mm.
She's got incredible dedication. She's got incredible heart, desire, ability. The first SPO wrestling show, the women's match, tore the building down. That was the best match of the day. And I just felt that if I'm going to go into management on my own business management here, as opposed to management for the company and the man, I'm going to go with the top. So why not pick the top wrestler in the company? No offense to anyone else, the top wrestler in the company.
Well, I can't argue with
He's
that.
Got a
I
point.
Mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
I can't argue with it. I mean, originally I'm the one that, you know, we all see the talent, we know it. And now she's going against Sunny Kiss this Sunday. And I got to tell you, Jim, in Greektown, Sunny Kiss, man, she shined. I've never seen her as aggressive. I've never seen her shots look as stiff. I've never seen, she did a crescent split legged leg drop thing from over the top rope that just made the place go insane. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to get a Sunny Kiss with a fire lit under her like you haven't seen in a long time, because we just saw it Friday.
Well, good. It doesn't matter to us because, you know, Christina Marie is the greatest SPO wrestling women's champion. And she will prove it again this week against Sunny Kiss and in following events against any other opponent.
Well, speaking of Christina, look, Jim, we have, I don't know if you know this or not, Dark King, it's looking good, man.
Thank you very much.
What do you think of your skin color, Jim? Does it need to be like put under a sun lamp, or is it the right
what
shade?
What is that?
Pink? What do you mean, what is it? That's you and Christina.
That's obviously incomplete.
I think it's pretty spot on.
I think
don't you think I know that?
It's because, Jim, you're older, so you're in black and white. And she's in color.
That, that
she's
was
younger.
Uncalled for, man. Really? Black
they
and
got...
white? This ain't the 40s?
It looks like a bigger version of Jim Mitchell, actually.
Are we going to have...
It looks like what's his name? Sam Loomis from Halloween. Donald...
Yes.
Dr. Loomis, Donald
Pleasance.
Yep. That's what the drawing looks like right now.
Uh-huh. Johnny, you got some splendid to do.
Yes, I mean, do. I know
listen,
that.
Jim, if you don't mind, I mean, I have a question. So, I mean, take a look around. I mean, look what Dewey has done. He's gathered up a whole bunch of talent, all right? And look what he's created, the new High Five. What could we see coming from Jim Molyneux? I mean, you already have Christina. I mean, do we see Jim leading a whole bunch of, you know, new talent, and what do they call themselves, Joe Molyneux guys?
No. Before I became a referee and was distracted for 35 years of working for other people and looking for success, I started out as a manager. And I had a group, and I'm going to use that name again. The group will be called the Agents of Fortune.
Nice.
And right. The fortune is for all of us that are in the group, financially, respectfully in the wrestling community, winning belts, winning championships, taking people out who don't belong in the wrestling business. That's one thing we're going to take care of. We're going to clean up the business.
Wow. Now, hearing stuff like that, I get goosebumps. So you really got to do it now. Don't just say it. That's good.
Oh, I will. Trust me. See, I have a little book here. And what I do is I'll put names in my book. And there are two things you don't want. You don't want your name in my book. And when we're done with you, you don't want your name crossed off my book either.
Well, now,
and
there's
trust
a good
me,
line.
There are other names that can and will be written in that book.
I'm going to steal a line from Sopranos, and I'm going to stick up for Sunny Kiss and say, your book don't mean ugats to Sunny Kiss.
That's fine
we'll
with
see.
Me.
I'm playing devil's advocate.
When Sunny, you know, this Sunday after the match, when Sonny's name is crossed off the book, you're right. It won't matter to Sonny Kiss that her name is written in the book, because it won't be anymore. We'll move on to the next attempted challenge.
Nice. The list.
That's going to be a
Jim, have you ever, you've been on a lot of events and you had your own Fed. When we wrestled at H2O recently, their bottom rope broke and we had to wrestle without a bottom rope. I've been on shows where the top rope broke and a guy almost killed himself. Have you been on a lot of events where things like that have happened with mishaps with the ring and the steel cages and stuff? Do you have any stories on deck for
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. There wouldn't be an evening that Kimona danced on top of the arena if the ring didn't break.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can I say it? Hold on. Can I say it? The night Kimona Wanalea danced atop the
ECW arena.
Oh, I grew up on that.
Order your tape now.
Yeah. So what happened? The ring broke and they said get up there and
yeah, there was and it was gonna take a while. So they had to do something to keep the fans from going absolutely ballistic. So that kept their attention.
Crisis booking 101. That's where Todd Gordon probably came up with crisis booking.
Wow. Could be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like the ultimate. He always said crisis booking, you have to, if something goes wrong, you have to deliver something bigger than what it's replacing.
I was
Kimona Wanalea.
Yeah. I was also in the Philadelphia Civic Center the night that the rope broke. And I apologize, I cannot remember the Japanese wrestler's name, but he wrestled Owen Hart for Tri-State Wrestling.
Mm.
That's dangerous. That's crazy. And Rick Blade just texted me and said, with a picture of the steel cage he wrestled in at Cage to the End for CZW. And there, he's right. There were two guys holding the cage so it wouldn't fall while he was jumping off the top. I mean, that's, yeah, that's bad. That's really bad. But, you know, when the bottom rope broke, Jim, I made the comment, you know, it's like a pinky toe. Like now that it's not there, you realize you never needed it to begin with. Like the bottom rope is not needed at all, except maybe like a few people that use it for a springboard now, but that just started in like the last 6-7 years using the bottom rope.
True. And you know, you could have also done it with the top rope in back in the day. You know, not everybody used the top rope for flying off of,
right.
You know, really only would have helped running the ropes. But if you realize it's not there, you can work around it.
Yeah. Yeah. So where's your girl? Where's Christina? You couldn't produce
she's just
her?
No, she just finished her workout and she's cleaning up after a workout. She's got a great workout set up for, you know, every day. She works out every day. I mean, maybe I might be wrong. I apologize. It might be 6 days a week, but she's got a great conviction to get out there and work and become the best that she can.
Yep. And Jim, you have a lot of bookings coming up. I'm pretty impressed. I've been watching your ex Twitter ex posts. And do you want to tell us where to find you in the next? I know you have a lot coming up just this weekend, right?
Right. Just this weekend, starting Friday, right down the road from Burlington, I'll be in Mount Holly where I'll be still refereeing. And I'll have that three ISPW in Mount Holly. Saturday is two things in one building. Jason Knight is running Assault Championship Wrestling again. And during the afternoon, I believe starting at 4:00 at the Pfeiffer Center in Williamstown, New Jersey, there will be a fan fest. So I'll be a part of that. And then starting at 8:00 will be the matches. And I'll be refereeing again for that. And then we'll be in Burlington on Sunday.
Yes. And we're at that event too, Saturday with you, the yep. Jason Knight. During the day, these guys have a family responsibility, and I'll be with Live Danger at Wrestle Show New Jersey in Middletown. So we're going to be appearing there at that fan fest. And then we're heading over to Jason's event at night, where it's going to be me in the back seats in a trios cage. I don't know if it's a cage or not. But it's a trios match against
another
Gary
cage.
Wolf.
Whoa!
I don't know if it's a cage or not. Is it?
I'm not sure either. I don't. I'll be ready. I've seen it advertised as a cage.
Yeah. I would love to be in another cage. I'm ready.
Let's do it up. If that's the case.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, we're going to be in trios, actually. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we're going to be in trios, and Gary's my trainer, you know, and he cut a promo talking about he taught me everything he knows, taking credit for the Backseat Boys. Donnie, how many people take credit for the Backseat Boys? Is it like up to a dozen now?
Yeah, too many. It's like every time I turn around, somebody else is taking credit for it.
Yeah, ridiculous. But anyway, so Gary, you know, he's up there saying, I taught you everything I know, or everything you know, but I didn't teach you everything I know, you know, all this stuff. Gary, as most trainers would. Let me tell you guys. All right, Gary, and we're going to be wrestling Gary, Mikey Whipwreck, and we're wrestling Jason. All right, Jason trained Mercedes Martinez. All right, Gary Wolf trained me and the wife beater, and Mikey trained literally every good lucha style wrestler from New York, New Jersey, the SAT, mm-hmm. Brian XL, Red, Quiet Storm, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so they all left the business better than they found it, you know? But now it's time to hang it up. I'll give you your credit is due. Yes, this area is better because of those three men. The younger generation has learned from them. Yes, absolutely. But there comes a time, guys, where you just got to walk away. And that time has come. And me in the back seats are going to make an example of you guys. Because listen, I'm only an old head until I'm around y'all. Then suddenly I'm young by comparison. I'm using that to my advantage this weekend. What do you guys think?
You said it best. You absolutely said it best. You know, when you're around, you know, your colleagues from that time, yeah. You know, to them, you're just another veteran. But when you're around us, you live it up like, you know, you're young, like it's 1999 again.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Phil? You have a hell of a weekend coming up, too. I don't even know how you're going to make this loop. We have to get you some young boys in the car. Stat.
I need to smell up with gas. Revolver this Friday up in Dayton, Ohio. Then Saturday I'm in Hampton, Virginia for next up pro wrestling, and then Sunday's SPO in New Jersey.
Jeez, all the driving. That's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just me in the car.
I feel like we need like the United States and like a little Phil Stamper in a car that we can put and like follow where you're going, you know, like they did on Follow That Bird. The Sesame Street movie back in the day.
Let's do it.
You know
what's funny? Not? Phil just said his loop coming up for the weekend, and we were like, oh my God, it's amazing. That's what everybody did from like 1994 to 2004. Like every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that's what you did. You drove like all over the fucking world.
Yeah, right. That's like what I said last week. I was bitching that I had to drive through the night, and then I realized, like, wait a minute. 2 years ago, I would have paid real money to be able to drive through the night to wrestle on a wrestling show.
Right. How many times did we drive up and down to Pittsburgh, dude?
Too many.
I would say at least 100.
And we're going to Michigan coming up, too. Guys, you want to talk about that real quick? Let me see. Yeah. I think I have to, put up, too, right? Didn't you guys send me something? Real quick, before we get to Michigan, I want to show you guys this. Look at this Trent Acid comic book someone put up.
Oh, man. Who made that?
I don't know. I got to find it's Smart Mark Comics.
I hate artists.
Yeah, I got to oh, there it is up top from Squared Circle Community on Reddit. I don't know who did it, but man, is that cool looking.
Yeah, wow. Cool as shit.
And look, Donnie, there's a photographer right up against the ring blocking people's view in the background. Bastard.
Love that it.
Bastard. But anyway, so Michigan. So here we go, guys. Talk.
Yeah, so we're going to have a tag team championship match. It's going to be the Backseat Boys taking on the team along with the Pillars. And for all of my hockey fans out there, you'll notice a familiar face in between the Pillars. That is the legend himself, Mr. D-Mac, Darren McCarthy.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
This is him here?
I believe he's a four-time Stanley Cup winner.
What?
From the Detroit Red Wings.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What's he doing? Managing them?
No, I think he's going to be in action. This looks like it's,
Wait, what?
Yeah. I think we're all
I'm the counterpart. Me and him are like the guys in the middle. Me and him are going to lock up. Yo, I'm going to take care of this guy.
Oh, triple threat tag team match.
Guess he didn't pay attention to the Players Association meetings of what to do with your money. That now he's wrestling.
A mark and his money are soon what, Donnie B?
A mark and his money are soon parted.
Are soon parted.
One of my phrases. Yes.
Awesome artwork of Trent Acid. Speaking of awesome artwork, let's check in. Chris, looking good, man.
Grazie, my brethrens.
Hell yeah.
That Molino is looking very devilish right there. Very evil.
Look at the color gradient in Christina's hair.
Yeah, Molino needs some sunlight.
Pretty spot on.
Wow.
I look tanner than she is. I don't know why you did that.
Like the sponge once said, guys, I got the magic touch.
Yikes.
That's wow.
Don't say that to a cop.
Well, Donnie's a cop.
They'll haul you in for a long time.
Yeah.
A dark king does not do well in the pokey.
They'll check the dark net for you.
The pokey. Jeez. All right, Jeez. Chris, thanks, dude. It's coming around long awesome. So we're almost finished up. We were hoping we would get Christina Marie, but you know what? She's a superstar now. She's got the Decker syndrome. She's flagrant. She doesn't have to show up. I told her, I said, that's the beauty of having a manager. You don't have to show up to your appearances anymore. Just send him. She said, send Link. She's right. I didn't send her the link.
What?
Oh, wow.
I love it. How do I send this to her? Phone, right? I'm going to send it to her right now, guys.
You see, we'll get her in here for a few minutes.
We'll even go late if we have to. Donnie, if you have to leave, I know you got a road trip to plan.
Yeah, you guys can do your thing. I'm going to see. It was cool seeing Jim. I'd like you to come on here one night, like legit, and just talk about some of the old ECW stuff. I'd like to pick your brain. I saw the Dark Side with Sandman, and I actually texted Scotty Raven.
I was never there. I was
definitely,
never there.
Like, yeah, I got strong feelings when he had to go out there and apologize for that whole thing. I'd love to get your thoughts on some of that and some of the other stuff, too, if we could just have him come on another night and just talk about ECW for a little bit.
Yeah, we will. Absolutely. I would love that. Right. He's been on before, too.
I got some prior engagement at 7 at 8 o'clock, but I'll catch up with you guys later. Thank you all.
All right, Poppy.
I love you all. Be good Monday from Nashville.
Peace, Donnie B.
Later, buddy.
Thank you, Donnie.
See you. Awesome. So, anyway.
Christina's entering the chat soon. Don't worry.
So, let me show you real quick while we're wasting time. I got to show you the Batman of Burlington has words for Craig Z-List.
Oh.
On Sunday, May 19th, at the Mitchell Firehouse, SPO Wrestling has asked Batman to stop by to ensure that there is a peaceful transfer of power for the new GM. I hope that you'll all join me in welcoming whoever it may be. And Craig Z, just so you know, if you're going to play Craig Z-List with me, you're going to be Craig Used-To-Be-List. Oh. Doors open at 2. There's a storm coming.
Wow.
Batman of Burlington, everyone.
What Batman a promo from the Batman of Burlington. But
yep. By Jim, the way, to get from my house to his house, I GPS'd it 2 minutes.
Really? Oh, so wow. You live right by Wayne Manor.
He's a homie of mine and a homie of Reckless Youths. All the Burlington people stick together, brother. But Jim, I hope you realize that Batman had to put that on and do all this because of you. You forced the poor guy's hand. He's working extra hours. He's doing overtime because of you.
And in turn, my hand was forced. I was told I cannot be the commissioner, general manager, and a manager at the same time, which I thought was kind of was kind of funny because I mean, Johnny, they announce you all the time as the person that owns the company, and you have interest in the tag team. And you get in the ring and you have interest in going after titles of your own, I'm sure. And any wrestler would. And, you know, I was accused of conflict of interest. Why can't anybody accuse you of that?
Well, I mean, yeah, we should have called the company SPO and made it stand for self-putover instead of Superpowers of Wrestling, right?
You said it, not me.
How's it going, Christina? Welcome.
Welcome.
Look at her with two belts behind her. Immortal. Wow, that's a nice belt from Immortal, too.
It's heavy, too.
Whoa.
Chrissy, two belts over here.
Whoa. Nice.
About to call me three belts.
Wow.
It's a nice belt, though.
It is. You're
going for the SW title Saturday. Look.
Oh, my gold complete.
Yeah, I got to replace. I couldn't replace it because you have it with you. So
Yeah, maybe it goes everywhere with me.
Maybe we'll let Jim Molyneux do the replacing. Molly can do it. Welcome to the show, champ.
I don't do handyman work anymore.
Let's got it.
Get one of the flunkies there to do it.
So, Christina, Jim was talking about your matches, and for those that didn't see it, you know, your matches with Rebecca Scott were off the charts awesome, Matrix-level stuff. I put up Matrix clips, and then months later, I see random fans putting up clips of you and her from that and calling it, like, whoa, Matrix. And I'm like, well, didn't you see it when we posted it, like, months ago? But, like, it's still going.
Catching.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So what do we expect this week? Because, like I said, Sunny in Greektown was like I've never seen her before. I'm just saying.
Expect some Matrix out of me. I mean, Sunny's bigger than me, so I'm better move my ass quick. Nah. I don't know. You got to be there to see it, to expect what I'm going to do. So Sunny's the ultimate challenge. So,
Steve Jordan said, good work. Good work, courageous Christina Marie. Steve Jordan said, the fireman. So there you go. And Danger Ginger said, welcome to the show, champ. I like it. So
sorry, I was a little late.
Oh, you weren't late. I forgot to send you the link. It was my fault.
You got to get that lifted, you know. Yeah, I mean, you can't skip.
It's not really how you treat a champ.
The only way you skip is if you get hurt. So.
Oh man,
I'm taking an easy day today, guys.
No, it's all right. Man. You deserve it. You deserve it.
We all deserve it every once in a while.
That drawing is coming out great.
Let's show it. Bada bing.
Oh man, I like the color, the way you did my hair. It's actually on point. Oh my god.
There you go.
No.
Thank you.
And those big brown eyes, you know, because I'm full of shit.
Full of shit, really.
Yeah.
So, we said that Jim looked like Dr. Loomis, Donald Pleasance. And yes. I'm thinking that Chris, can you move the camera a little bit more? Yeah, I'm thinking that Christina, other way, so I could see Christina.
Oh,
me.
Whoopsie.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, there now that the picture. I'm like thinking it's me.
Yes. Hold it right there. From a cartoon standpoint, Christina is giving me.
Hey, you can't forget the birthmark, man. That's like a real trademark right here.
It's almost giving me like cartoon Katy Perry vibes, just by the way it's drawn.
A little bit.
Okay.
Turned out good, man. You'll send it to me when it's done. He'll send it and we'll put it up on our story. We'll make sure it's out tomorrow so people see it. Chris, you make my day every time I bring you on here and you put that SpongeBob going, step it on a beach. Step it on a beach. I do that with my nephew now. Yo, my mother screamed at my nephew for yelling that so many times.
Because I got it hours.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't blame him.
Well, guys, last chance to get tickets, everybody. Front row sold out, all ringside sold out, but we still have some bleacher seating available at spowrestling.com, so check it out. Me versus Channing Decker. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not worried about my own well-being anymore. That's it. I'm done.
Because you're unbreakable.
Un-effing-breakable.
It's time for Spo to grow. And it's going to take me getting off my ass and growing it. Right. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the Channing Decker of Spo Wrestling. The Channing Decker of Greektown. Or you know what? I'm going to be the Christina Marie of Spo Wrestling coming up soon.
You're going to be the Spo of Spo.
I'm going to start putting myself over, man. And I don't mean putting myself over as in like winning matches or losing matches. I just mean I'm going to start taking a bite. Enough. You know, I'm going to start.
Not a mouthful, just a nibble.
No, that's what I've been doing. I'm going to start taking mouthfuls. You only live once. Season of death is upon us. Things are getting crazy. I mean, let's be honest. We have these matches coming up that no one's ever heard of. No one even understands. Only fans death match. Losers.
Whoa. Shut up. Is that really a thing?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Is that Silhouette Harlem Heat?
No.
Oh my god. Can I actually ref a match? Because that's pretty hysterical. Like, well, oh my god.
Every
somebody must want an OnlyFans. Is that what it is?
you know what, Johnny, I hate to say it, she does bring up an interesting point. The show is called Uneffing Necessary, so the most uneffing necessary thing in a death match would be a woman ref.
That would be, you know, ideal.
Let alone the SPO women's champion.
I'll beat up the referee. I'll come in.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay. We can maybe work something out. We'll see.
Politics. Yeah,
but after the match, after the show Sunday, I'm hoping we know who's in these friggin' matches. Because I'm telling you right now, there's no way naive young boy Malcolm made it. It didn't come out of his mind. So something's, I don't know, something's amiss. Something's afoot. I can smell it. And I have I'm keen on this stuff. And so I know it. Something's going on. But anyway, so yeah, Phil, you have a sick week coming up with a sick loop. Hopefully you're going to make it, to be honest with you, because that's a lot of driving in a very little bit of time.
Jim, you better make it. We got a deal.
I'm right there. I'm by your side whenever you need me.
Making sure. Okay, it's the first title defense.
And what about your weekend, Christina? You got a big weekend. This is actually the big weekend coming up for everyone. What do you have, Christina?
Yeah. I'm actually driving to Buffalo Riverworks for ESW for a fatal four-way to crown the first ever ESW women's champion against Adina Steele, Katie Arquette, and Haley. I forget her other name, but it's going to be a banger. And then I got to get in the car and drive all the way to Burlington to represent my SPO championship. That's a seven-hour drive. You guys, I'm driving 4 hours over and then 7 hours down. So,
and that's 7-Eleven right there.
On the open wide ocean, on the road again.
Yep. All by myself too. Don't forget that.
That's what happens when I forget to mute Chris. I like that. Good, Chris. Chris, I think you're over as shit. And listen, now that Donnie's not here, I got to tell you something.
What did you say?
Donnie's a big fan of yours. He tries to hide it. So from now on, when you're on here, you really got to like talk to him, ask him about his, take an interest in his life and stuff. He likes when you ask him stuff like that. So that next time yes. We'll do that.
Maybe next time you do a sketch of Donnie B and his twin brother, Hollywood Nova.
Yeah,
that'd be great. Look,
if I had a picture of the sinker right now, I would show it to y'all and I'll be like, let me think about it. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I did a little thing with me and Decker, but I don't know if the volume's real good. We're going to try to watch it, everybody. I'll turn the volume up as high as I can. You may have to lower or raise the volume to see this, but this is how I feel about Decker. And like I said, everything I have to say is right there in my eyes, so listen carefully.
Mm-hmm. Got you.
I'm not gonna lie, just looking at your face made me feel like I did something wrong. I don't know what I did wrong, but I did something wrong.
I mean mugged the camera. I was like, because what was going through my mind at that moment, you could see on my face. Like, that was not acting. I was pissed. I am pissed because I'm trying to be a leader and put something together here and make it good. And it's like, you know, with Dewey doing what he's doing and with Channing Decker doing what he's doing now, I need to step up and I feel like if I don't step up, we're going to lose the company.
Yeah, I mean, this group, they call themselves the High Five. I guess it's an insult to your group, the High Five, or something like that. And
I don't like when people are a step ahead of me. And I feel like someone's a step ahead of me, and it's irking the shit out of me. And I keep trying to go think moves ahead, but there's something blocked. You know what they say in Sopranos? Our true enemy has yet to reveal himself. Well, they're saying that Dewey's going to have a fifth member. So maybe that's what I'm not understanding. Maybe it's someone amongst us. It could be someone in this room right now. Chris, has Dewey contacted you? Be honest.
I do not follow that weird looking Mickey Mouse good. Weirdo.
Thank you.
Hold up. I can't get up.
Well, show it.
Christina, you okay?
I can't get up.
What happened?
He said someone in the room.
She's pressing the button.
I lay down. I can't move.
All right.
It's Mickey, isn't it? It's Mickey was contacted by Dewey.
He was. He's in the room right now.
All right. Well, guys, Jim, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. And I know that Sonny versus Christine is going to be an amazing match any way you slice it. So your involvement's just going to be a bonus, is the way I look at it. People are lucky to have you. You did a great job as the general manager. You told the crowd, I'm going to look out for your pocketbook. Like, the people loved you. And now you're
doing look out for their pocketbook until I was told no more.
Yeah.
So well. I made a choice. Now it's time for me to look out for my pocketbook. It's been 35 years of worrying about everyone else, worrying about the fans, worrying about the promotion I work for, worrying about, you know, the safety of the wrestlers in the ring. Now it's for my pocket and the people who work for me. It's about the Agents of Fortune.
Agents of Fortune. I like it, brother. We'll have to get you a graphic made for that. Chris, let's check in one last time. Let's see what you have, brother, before we go off the air.
Johnny, after hearing all the whole new high five thing, if I were you, go back to your roots and get the bat and start wailing.
Not a bad idea.
Oh,
wow.
Look how fast he colored
that.
Jeez.
Wow.
That is awesome.
Wow, that's amazing.
Hell yeah.
I love the coloring. I love the attention to detail, the likeness. I tip my hat to you, sir.
Thank you. Squidward tentacles would be jealous or probably, I don't know.
Very well done.
Well, guys, that's awesome. Thank you all for being here, taking it home. It's time this Sunday. It's already here. The big event, 2:30 p.m. Mitchell Firehouse, Burlington, New Jersey. Be there. SpoWrestling.com. Grab some of your bleacher seats. And, guys, let's go stepping on the beach. Stepping on the beach.